Somebody asked a farmer one time, they said, now, if you got a bunch of cows and you feeding the cows, and they all come up to the trough, say, when you got one cow, you don't give him all the food, do you? He said, yeah, I do. I give me all the food to him. So you might feel like I'm giving you a lot, but I'm commanded to feed the flock. Amen? We've been talking about walking worthy of your vocation. We're just in the second month of a new year, and we still want to continue to talk about walking right. Amen? I hate to say it, but so many people call themselves Christian, but if you were to look at the way they walk, it would stumble you. We need to learn how to walk the way God called us to walk, right? So we're still in the book of Ephesians. Paul had wrote a letter to the church of Ephesus about how they ought to walk, and they ought to have a spiritual walk. But I'm going to give you three passages today because I think it'll help us as we begin to study the Word of God. So turn to John real quick, chapter 3. And then when you get to John, flip back over to Ephesians chapter 4. And then we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. And again, this is a Bible teaching church, and we believe in teaching the Bible, so I have you turning, but it'll help you as we study the Bible. One thing that we do on Wednesday, I try to get to answer questions and get you to tell me where the scripture is, so I want you to learn the scripture so that you'll be able to go to it readily. Amen? John chapter 3, put your finger there. Ephesians chapter 4, put your finger there. Colossians chapter 1. When you get your finger in all three places, say amen. Still hear some pages turning, so I want to give you a chance to get there. Colossians chapter 1, John chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 4, and Colossians chapter 1. You there? Say amen. Amen. Let's start at John chapter 3. We're going to look at one verse, verse 13. Again, this is familiar passage. This is when Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus. But verse 13, John chapter 3 says, read that with me. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus said, nobody came down from heaven, but I did. So he said, but the Son of Man, but we want to look at that word ascended. No man has ascended up, but Jesus is going to ascend up because he's going to come down, and then he's going to ascend up. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we already covered the first three verses. But I read verse 1, then we'll jump down to verse 7. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye, what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Paul is saying you need to walk worthy of your calling. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you're not walking right. You need to walk worthy. Okay, now jump down to verse 7. I'll read 7, you read 8 till we get down to verse 13. But unto every one of us, even in this room, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. So this is that ascension. He said nobody ascended up to heaven, but he gonna come down, then he gonna ascend back up. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first, unto the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10. He that ascended. As we teach today, we're going to talk about his ascending and descending and going all the way back to heaven so that he could fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. We've been talking about this on Wednesday, but again, I told you, you're going to probably get a repeat of it. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. So the reason he gave the church these gifts was to mature you, to get you to begin to grow up. Brother Jennings said in our Sunday school lesson, if you get mature, then you'll be able to handle all the suffering. Jerry was saying, being a Christian is hard. Well, not, it's not hard if you mature, because you realize that God say, my yoke is easy. Amen. Read verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. That perfect word is really mature. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read this verse and we'll pray. But this is what we're talking about, walking right and so forth. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And you get that, say amen. Amen. Read that with me on 3. 1, 2, 3. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm teaching you and I'm warning you and I'm encouraging you because I want you to grow up. I don't want you to be a baby all your life. I want you to be mature. For just a little while, like my wife, I'm preaching to the choir, but we want to talk to you about you ought to be walking right. You ought to be talking right. You ought to be living right for the sake of God. It's one thing to talk one way and then walk another way. And then talk one way and live another way. So Paul say, walk worthy of your vocation. Walk like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. I think I said it to you before. If you walk like a duck, talk like a duck is a duck. But you can't say that with Christians. There's some people that can walk right, but they won't live right. So we want people to walk right and talk right. Walk right, talk right, live right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Sunday after the 5th anniversary. And like Jerry said, it should be packed, Lord, but it's not. But nevertheless, we still going to preach and teach the Word of God. Thank you for Jerry today as he expounded that Sunday school lesson about how we don't need to call down fire on these people. We need to just be loving them. And then at the same time, we need to make a commitment. We don't need to be like those three that one committed. We need to be committed to following the Lord. Thank you for our corporate prayer by Deacon Jennings. Thank you for, again, our time of fellowship where we heard testimony, we heard prayer answered, and we was able to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for a time of announcement by my wife, Lord. Thank you for a time of the offering that Jerry took up. And, Lord, thank you for the last songs at the praise team. They sung a cappella, Lord, but it was some songs that go back in Negro history and how we used to sing those songs of Zion in the church without music. But thank you, Lord, that all that prepared us for the Word of God. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you forgive me of my sins, to hide me behind the cross, to help me to rightly divide the word of truth, help me to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and all the praise. For the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Amen. You've been here on Wednesday, so I'm just kind of reiterating. We've been talking about the gifts, which is plural, of the Spirit. We've been talking about talents and abilities. And we've been talking about single, the fruit of the Spirit. I asked you Wednesday, what were they? And we ought to know them: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Every Christian ought to have that fruit. Amen? Amen. You say, well, I don't have it. Well, then you need to yield to the Spirit. Amen. Because you either yielding to the Spirit or you yielding to the flesh. Amen. One of them going to have dominating over you. People ask that question all the time. Which one going to be the strongest, the one you feed the most? Right. If you feed the Spirit of God, God will give you what you need. Paul said that he wants to present every Christian, that's you and me, perfect, mature. I'm getting a little ahead of my message there, but there's four type of people in the church, and you can identify with these people. There's babes in the church. You say, what's a babe, preacher? Well, a babe can be one or two things. It can be a person who just got saved. Or you can have a person been in church 50 years and still a babe. They don't, Deacon Jennings said, they don't read the Bible. They don't have a prayer time. They don't know how to live right. So we don't want to be a babe. That's one person in the church. Then there's a carnal person in the church. Now, I know you don't want me to preach on that one. But yeah, there are people in the church that are 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. You say, are they really saved? Was Lot saved? Yeah, he was saved. Where was Lot? Living in Sodom and Gomorrah. What was Lot? Down there on the council. Couldn't even witness to his own son-in-law. Get up out of this place. They looked at him last. Say, man, you down here with her. You going to tell her what to do. That's why, again, I don't want to be a person that dogmatic and legalistic. But if I'm drinking liquor with you, it's going to be hard for me to tell you about the Lord. Amen. If I'm smoking weed with you or smoking with you and going to the club with you, you're going to be kind of hard. Now, here's the one that nobody wants me to preach, but I'm going to preach it anyway. If I'm going to the hotel with you, we get in the room, and then I'm telling you I'm going to church tomorrow. It's going to be kind of hard for you to come follow me. Amen. So we need to live right. Amen. Paul said, I want to present you perfect. Back in Ephesians, look at verse 7. It says, but every one of us is given grace according to the measure of gift. Every one of us has a gift. At least one gift. You might not be like the man that had the 5 talents or the one that had 2, but you got one. I remember Sister Russell was asking, well, I don't know what my gift is. We told her your gift is helps. You're always helping everybody. You always got a compassion. You know, and Jared talked about it, and Deacon Jen talked about my wife. She has a compassion for people. So you have a gift. That's a gift. You hate to say this, but my wife is the type that we could be driving down the road and somebody could be standing out. She won't be able to stop and help them. I said, I don't feel led to do that. Well, that's her gift. Amen. So everybody has a different gift. Amen. But guess what? Use that gift. God gave you that gift. Matter of fact, he says right here, he gave you that gift and he gave you the ability to use that gift. We talked about the diversity is a gift. I'm not going to get into that, but I ask you that every Wednesday. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's in Ephesians 4, and that's in Romans chapter 12. And it's talk about the gift administration. That's the gift of being able to organize a church, a gift for doing the financing, the gifts of wisdom. That's the gift of teaching, or the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith. That's having faith, trusting God going to do something, the gift of preaching, the gift of discerning, the gift of help, the gift of teaching, exhortation. That's a gift that a lot of people don't know they have. Sister Russ, I want to tell you have a gift of exhortation. Amen. Exhortation is where you encourage people to keep on doing. You know, sometime, and I'm not just trying to be, you know, share with y'all, but sometime the pastor needs a little encouragement. Amen. And when Sister Russell said, boy, that message was for me. Boy, God was talking to me. You don't know how God, that's encouraging me. So that's an exalted. Now again, a lot of time when the message is preached, God need people in the church that are encouraging others. Amen. That's exhortation. That's why we tell people, take notes. That's why you see a preacher saying that. Mark, underline that in your Bible. Because you need somebody to encourage you, to exalt the word of God. I took that young preacher, 23-year-old preacher, 24, took him over there to the church on Sunday night. I used to go to a friend of my church on Sunday night. And the preacher preached the exact same message that he preached. And we were so encouraged. And he was just shaking in his boots. I said, wasn't that a blessing? You just preached on that? He preached on it. And we just talked about it. I took him over to the hotel. He didn't want to get out of the car. And then I told him I'd be back in the morning. I got over there. He was already ready. I'm telling you, God encouraged him. And then he said, I'm so encouraged. I'm so encouraged. I said, man, you need to stay with the word. Stay with the word. I'll just share with this with you since my wife knows. I don't usually share stuff like this. So he came down to do a revival at another church. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly or anything, but they didn't give him anything but maybe a little small token. And so I asked him, I said, you flew down, you got your own hotel, you didn't have a car, and they didn't give you anything? Well, they gave me this. I'm not going to tell you how much they gave me. So I asked my wife, I said, you know what? I think we ought to give them some more money. And this just got put on our heart. So we came up with another figure that we're going to give him. So I took the money to him, and I said, we just want to help you out. He said, but I'm fine. I said, you just like I was. You think you can continue to do the work free. I said, no, you need some type of love offering. So I put it in his hand, and he almost fainted. He said, oh, y'all so nice, y'all so nice. And then my wife had told me, I didn't realize. She said, you need to get him something to eat. I said, he already ate. She said, no, he's still hungry. So, so my wife went and got some Buffalo Wild Wings, you know what I'm talking about? And I asked him, I said, you want that? No, I'm fine, I'm fine. He ate up all them wings. And I said, I'm glad you got the wing, because I thought he wasn't hungry. He told me, I'm fine, preacher. No, he was hungry. So what I'm saying is, continue to love on people and continue to use the gift of God. So you may have those gifts. Again, the gift of, again, teaching, exhortation. Every one of us has at least one gift. And you have the exact amount that God gives you. Now, the question, I know people ask this all the time, and I just share it with you. Well, I don't know why God didn't make me a millionaire. Well, let me tell you why. Because he knew you wouldn't know how to handle the money. See, God give you the gift that he know you're able to handle. See, some people can't handle money. Amen? Some people can't handle being exalted. It goes to their head. Jerry said this morning, said, well, Pastor G, you and your wife, hey, but I want you to get the big head. And I said, you're right, brother. So some people can't, but God gives you gifts that he can handle. In the talent, he gave 1 5. He gave 1 2. That's in Matthew chapter 25. He gave 1 1. Now, the one that had the one talent was the sorriest of all. He took his talent and he hid it in the earth. Y'all remember that? And then when the master came back and said, well, what'd you do with that talent I gave you while you was down on earth? Well, I knew you was a hard man. And so when I took your talent and I hid it here, and here it is. The Lord said, take that talent from him and give it to the one that got 10. And throw that unprofitable servant out in the outer dark. Let me tell you, use your talent. If you ain't got but one, use it for. I used to be, and I'll just show you, I used to see these preachers, they could sing, they could preach, they could teach. And I said, well, God, you ain't give me that voice to sing. God said, don't worry about it. You just keep on doing what I call you to do. So if God only gave you one talent, use it up for the Lord. Amen? Don't be complaining about the other person. And God told those two that used their talent, he said, thou good and faithful servant, thou have been faithful over a few things. Come, let me make you rule over many. Amen? Yeah, God will give you some money if you know how to handle it. God ain't going to give you no money if you're going to mess up. You say, well, what would you do if you get $1 million? Now, let me tell you what you do. You go buy your Bentley. you go buy your mansion. And you do everything. And God told the rich man, or the rich young ruler, take your money and give it to the poor. He was trying to say, I'm going to give you the money, but you need to have the wherewithal to learn how to distribute it. So God, if God give you, Jared said it so many times, if God give us some money, yeah, I'll build a church, I'll do this. But look, I hope I use it for the Lord, amen? I don't need to use it for myself. Matter of fact, we live like kings and queens compared to people in the third world countries. Amen. How many TVs we got? Oh, I'm not going to preach on you, but we got 5 TVs, plus TVs in every room. And we got room that we don't even go in. You know, they call it the living room because nobody go in there, you know that? There are people that live in huts. They 8 people live in a hut. They don't have a 1 room. And so we need to be thankful. Amen. We have to be thankful. So God know what he's doing. Amen. One thing about gifts and the talents and abilities. God is going to give rewards at the bema seat. Now, let me help you out. If you're not using the gift that God give you, you're sending up wood, hay, and stubble. And it's going to be tried by fire. And God going to say, now, you could sing and you never did sing. You could teach and you never did teach. You had a gift and you never did use it. Oh, that's going to be burned up. I want to be able to say, Lord, I used my gift up. Everything that you gave me, I used for the honor and glory of the Lord. So we need to use God's gifts. He said those gifts that are used are gold, silver, and precious stones. They will be able to try it in the fire, and they come out. 3 points, and then I'll be done with you. Why we ought to walk right, talk right. The pardon of the gifts. When did they happen, and how did they happen? Well, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 8, it said, when he ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? Now, I don't know if you ever had a Bible study, but I'm finna give you a Bible study one-on-one right here today. Before Christ came out of the grave, we had in the earth two compartments. We had an apartment for the lost and an apartment for the saved. The apartment for the lost was called Gehenna. They was in fire. The apartment for the saved was on this side. That's where, again, the rich man went in Abraham's bosom. Are y'all listening to me today? The question comes up again is, who are the captive? The captive was those that was down in the earth that Jesus had to go and deliver. Those were all the people that were saved. They were waiting on Jesus to raise from the dead so he could take them to paradise. He told the thief on the cross, thou shalt be with me today in paradise. Amen? Great picture. We have two people. One thief went down to hell. Another thief went up into paradise. But both of them at that time was in the earth. Okay? So we have two dimensions. Who were the spirits in prison? The spirits in prison was everybody that was lost before Christ resurrected. So everybody from Adam that did not receive Christ were like the rich man. The rich man was died, and the Bible said, and in hell. The word is Hades. He lifted up his eyes. Are y'all listening to me? And he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he would give me a drop of water that I could cool my tongue, for I am tormented, what? In this flame. So you have one side down here. And matter of fact, he asked this question. He said, there's a great gulf between them. Are y'all listening to me? Lazarus can't come over there because you decided your fate. So let me tell you, in the beginning, before Christ resurrected, there was a big great gulf. Like the Grand Canyon, you had one side over here, which Gehenna, which was in hell burning up. Then you had the other side over here, which was the saved, which was waiting on Jesus to resurrect from the cross. Because the Bible said that when he got up that morning, some saints got up and walked around the city and showed him that Jesus was alive. Amen. He took them captive. Took them captive. Jesus Christ resurrected. Bible study. Who had the power to keep them in Hades? There were three people that had the power. Here it is right here. The devil had the power, death and the grave. The devil had tricked Adam. Adam had failed. And the last enemy that had to be conquered of mankind was death. Death was ruling until Jesus came. Are y'all listening to me? So Jesus had to go all the way down to the grave. And he had to defeat death. We're going to have that on Easter Sunday morning. But I'm telling you right now, when Jesus went down, he said it like this. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For I thank God through Jesus Christ, God, Jesus defeated the devil. He defeated the grave and he defeated death. So he took those captives that was down there, those saints of God, he took them on to heaven. So the parting of the gift. And then the Bible says he gave gifts to men. Now, again, I want y'all to understand that this is where the church, and again, I know I get into trouble on this, but I just said, this is where the church get messed up with these gifts. The gift that he gave to the church were pastor, teachers, and they were given to men. He never called women the pastor. I know you don't want me to preach this morning, but I'm going to just be honest with you. Paul told Timothy, he said, Adam was first formed. Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. And so a woman is not supposed to use up authority over man. Now, I'm just preaching what the Bible said. I know you may not want to hear, but I'm not a male chauvinist, but I'm telling you, God only called men the pastor. I got people in my family that don't like that, but I'm sorry. I stay with the Bible. I'm sorry. I can't change the Bible. And matter of fact, I tell people like this, I'm like Jeremy the mailman. I just deliver it. Amen. You don't jump on the mailman when he bring your bill, do you? So don't jump on me. I'm doing what the Bible says. The Bible says that he gave gifts to men. And we'll get into that a little later. Again, we talked about the giver of the gift. The giver of the gift was Jesus Christ. Why did he give the gift? Because he wanted to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. He wants us to grow up, folks. He wants us to not be babes. Amen. The church of Corinth was full of babes. How you know a church is a babe? Because they were bickering. They were fighting. They were taking each other to court. A man was sleeping with his own stepmother. They had a lot of strife in the church. And let me tell you today, I don't want a church to be a part of a church where we got all division. We got all cliques. We got all strife. We want to be a church that exalts the name of Jesus. Amen? Paul said, I couldn't come to you like spiritual. I had to come to you like babes, carnal Christian. Want to jump, want to fight. Jerry was talking about he went to the store and they took his little dollar. Let me tell you, there's some people in the church like that. They want to fight over a drop of a hat. Something wrong. Where's that fruit of the Spirit supposed to be in your life? We need to get that out of us. Amen? Amen. So Jesus saying, I'm the giver of gift. He distributed the gift. It's almost like a triumph in the Old Testament. When Barak and Deborah went in and conquered the enemy, they came back and they brought the spoil. It's back when David had left his women in Ziklag. And when he left, the Amalekites came and took them captive. And David went after them. Y'all remember when David went after them? David asked the Lord, he found a Amalekite Egyptian that they left behind, who they thought was dead. And he said, will you kill me? Where they at? He said, well, you promise me you won't kill me. He said, I won't kill you. I live. And the man told David, and David went down there. They were down there partying. You know, the enemy think they got it. They're down there partying. David destroyed them and killed the spoil and took everybody back. And the Bible said David recovered all. Amen. Didn't lose a bit. Then he took their little herbs and cattle that they had. And then he gave to his friends. See, Jesus Christ is the one that gave the gift. He is the one that brought the gifts back. I remember the time when Abraham took 318 of his hired servants, and they came, the kings that came down and took Lot. They took the king of Sodom and they took Lot into captivity. And Abraham armed himself and went and delivered. Y'all remember the story? When Abraham brought him back, the king of Sodom said, hey, Abraham, take the spoil. Said, just give me the people. Abraham said, hold on a minute. He said, I can't take nothing from you. He said, you be going around telling me how you make me rich. He said, I won't take a shoe lack. I won't take a string from you. He said, God is my great reward. Let me tell you, you ain't got to make me rich. And let me tell you, if you never heard, I don't mean to say it, but I'm not here to be a rich pastor. I'm not here. I'm here because God is my reward. God has given me eternal life. I'm here. If I never get a paycheck, I'm here because God called me and he saved me and he wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life and I'm going to heaven regardless. Yeah, people don't want to hear the word today, but I'm going to preach the word because that's what God called me to do. Jesus Christ gave me the gift. I happen to have the gift of a pastor, not because I chose it. He chose me, and he ordained me, and he called me into ministry. And by the way, Sister Gaines said it all today. When God gives you something, always going to be somebody criticized. You know? Like she said, she got up near what her mama told, and somebody said, don't you ever do that again. Let me tell you. And by the way, pastor, Christian, whatever you do, somebody going to criticize. Amen. So what you need to do is look past the criticism. Matter of fact, there's a good example in the scripture. Peter told Jesus, be it from you going to the cross. Jesus looked past Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things of man, not the things of God. Let me tell you, when people talk to you out of order, just look past them. The only people that give you the gift is God. Amen. The only people that can carry it through is God. Amen. So, by the way, don't get caught up in the numbers, because we're going to get the same reward that Billy Graham got for being faithful. Yes. Billy Graham preached to millions and thousands. If I preach to two, but I'm faithful, I'm going to get the same gift. Amen. So it ain't about numbers. It was about doing what God called you to do. Amen? So Abraham delivered Lot. David recovered Ziklag. So the giver of the gift is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent gift to the church and he gave them to his friends. Point number one, the pardon of the gift was done when he went down to the grave and he delivered the captivity. Point number two, the giver of the gift was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that gave the gift. And point number three, the gifts are specific gifts and the assignment a leadership was given to the church. And when you go back to Ephesians real quick, chapter 4, verse 11. And we've been dealing with this on Wednesday, but I'm going to go ahead and deal with it again today so you'll get, again, an extra teaching on it. Ephesians 4, 11 say, and he gave some, what? Apostles. Some what? Prophets. And some what? Evangelists and some pastor teacher. Now, a lot of people call this the fivefold ministry, but it's actually a fourfold because pastor teacher goes together. But if you look at the term apostles, what he gave the guide in the church, I give it to you one more time. There's only with 12. And he named them in Matthew chapter 10. And if you think you're an apostle, then why did he leave your name out of the book? Okay? Because everybody that's an apostle had to be named by Jesus Christ. Amen. We had one apostle who forfeited his right with Judas. We know the story. We've been talking about it. Judas went out and hung himself. Judas was a false apostle. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. That tell me today that we got some false apostles out there. Amen. The Bible said they're going to be false teachers. Jesus said they're going to be many before I come. So Paul comes alongside and God gives him the same criteria to be an apostle as he did the other. He trained them for 3 years in Arabia. Y'all know the story. And Paul rise up and he say, I magnify my office for God has called me. Now God called him, first of all, to go to the Jews, and Peter was supposed to be the apostle to the Gentile, but Peter had a prejudice problem. Oh, y'all don't mean to preach, do you? Was Peter saved? Yes. Did Peter know the Lord? Yes. Peter still had a prejudice problem. What you saying, preacher? There are people saved that they got prejudice problem. You say, are they saved? Yeah, they saved. How could they be saved? Peter was saved. How you know he was saved? Because Paul rebuked him to the face. Now, you got to be very careful when you rebuke somebody openly. But when somebody's doing wrong, by the way, let me just say this, and I can say this to y'all because y'all know me. This pulpit is not the preach politics. The young preacher asked me, he said, well, how do you feel about the president? I said, hold on a minute. I said, I'm going to tell you what Paul did. I said, Paul prayed for Nero. Paul went out and established churches. Now, my opinion about the president is between me and the Lord, but my job is to pray for him. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to take this pulpit and beat him down. That's wrong. Matter of fact, there have been several presidents that didn't do right. Amen. Yes, you know what my job was to do? Pray for him. You know what the Bible say? God exalts one and obeys one. You know what the Bible say? God rules in the affair of men. You know what? Here it is. If you don't get it, I have a sovereign God who don't matter who in office, his plan going to come to pass. You say, what you mean, Peter? I'm telling you right now, everything that's happening in D.C. is lining up for the prophecy of Jesus coming back. Everything that happened in D.C. is lining up for the nation of Israel to go back into the land. Everything that's happening in D.C. right now, that's happening in the United Nations, that happened in the military, is lining up because God is in control. Amen. I don't care what you say. What about the military? What about the military? God owns the military. God owns the government. God owns everything. Like they say, God on the cattle on a thousand hill, he on the hill too, amen? So we need to understand, no more apostles. Apostles had to see the resurrected Christ. Apostles had to be listed in the book. They had the apostolic signature. They had to be able to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Now all of them say they can do that today, but let me tell you they can't. They can't raise no dead. If that's the case, I got a lot of folks in my family. I wish you would have came to our house that day and raised them up. You can't raise nobody dead. Let me tell you, these apostles, you say, how do you know? Because Peter raised somebody from the dead. Amen. Paul raised somebody from the dead. You see, the apostle Jesus raised somebody from the dead. Matter of fact, I think I gave it to you before. Every time Jesus showed up, sickness flew and death left. There's nobody that Jesus came into contact with that had either one of those. If they were sick, he healed them. If they were dead, he raised them. Everybody in the scripture that Jesus came in contact with, he either healed them or raised them up. You don't see nobody died while Jesus was in the room. You don't see that. So Jesus had that power. And he told the apostles, he said, I'm going to give you this power. But I want you to hear me well. But it was only for the Jews. See, the apostles did signs and wonders because they was authenticating Jesus was the Messiah. He said, only do this in the nation of Israel. Don't do this outside of the house of Israel. You're an apostle, you ain't even a Jew. How in the world are you going to be an apostle? You're not a Jew. By the way, every false religion today was started by a Gentile. I don't have time to preach on it. But if you look at the scripture, all the apostles were Jews. All the prophets were Jews. Every religion that have been started by a Gentile. Prophets, preacher, they were men that were foretelling the truth until the canon was written. So God had some modern day prophets, but once the canon was completed in AD 95, when John closed the book of Revelation, there are no more prophets. Matter of fact, I gave you Luke 16, 16. The last prophet was John the Baptist. You need to come. We got prophet so-and-so. Prophet who? Prophet so-and-so. Prophet. He can tell you what's going to happen in the end time. Now, he can't tell me nothing going to happen. Everything that's going to happen in the end time is recorded in the book. Now, he can tell me what the Bible says, but don't call him a prophet. Just call him a preacher, because there are no more prophets. Evangelists. God gave a church evangelist. What are evangelists? Well, preachers, real simple. Evangelists are like missionaries going to a place where the gospel has never been preached. That young boy, a young missionary, is going back to England over there where they closed. He said about 7 churches closed the door. Y'all remember that? He's going back and trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. I just heard just recently that Sudan, which is 99% Muslim, is now beginning to try to retract and let Christianity come in. Let me tell you, that's a blessing. You need an evangelist. Jerry didn't know he was preaching on my message today. Now, evangelist, your life is in a bubble. God protects you. You like them guys with that dollar? If I'm going somewhere and you say, I wouldn't go over there, man. They're killing folks. The best place to be is in the will of God. Because if I'm in the will of God, you can't touch me anyway. Ask Paul. Paul went down to Lystra. Y'all know the story. Paul went down to Lystra preaching the gospel. They got so mad with Paul, they rushed him out to the end of the city. And they took stones, put him down in a pit, and stoned him to death. At least they thought they did. And his apostles were standing around, and I guess they were saying, well, I guess it's over now. Paul did this number. He shook them rocks off. Climbed up out of that pit and said, hey, guys, we need to go on to the next city. What? Paul said, I'm an apostle, God. Don't let them kill me. I'm not through with my mission yet. Paul said, and then he wrote it in 2 Corinthians. He said, I know a man, well, in the body, I cannot tell out of the body, that was called up to the third heaven. He told me himself. Paul was saying, that day that I died, or at least they thought I was dead, God told me, say, Paul, I'm not through with you yet. They can't kill you. I'm not through with you yet. So get on back up and go preach the gospel. Let me tell you, they can't get rid of you if you're in the hand of God. Matter of fact, Jesus did the same thing. Jesus got in there and they gave him the book of Isaiah. Y'all remember the story? And he opened to the part that said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the captivity, to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf. And then he said, and today the scriptures fulfilled in your eyes. Boy, they got hot. They said, we're going to kill this fellow. We know you, Joseph Carpenter's son. They took him out to the edge of a cliff. They pushed him off. Y'all remember the story? The Bible said he just walked right through them. They didn't even know where he was. And Jesus made this statement, my time is not yet. They can't kill me because it's not my time. Now, when he got ready, he knew he was going to the cross. He made the statement, now's the time. In other words, he was saying, long as I'm doing what God called me, they can't kill me. But one day, I'm going to go ahead. And by the way, they ain't going to kill me anyway. I'm going to lay down my life. So we need to understand. And then we got pastor teacher. And I'm blessed to be your pastor, my calling. I praise the Lord for it. But Paul said that the pastor job was 2 things. His job was to lead and feed, okay? So my job is to lead and feed. Your job is to follow and swallow. Did you get it? Lead and feed. I told you, just like that farmer bringing those cows and throwing that feed in there, my job is to give you the word of God. And your job is to digest it. Now, a lot of times, I will give you more than what you need, but if you pray about it and like I say, meditate on it and concentrate on, God will give you what you need. Amen? Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, because the time will come where they will not adhere to sound doctrine. But heap up to themselves, teachers having itching ears. I preached a little bit on that. People will go to a church where the preacher will just keep tickling the ear. He won't tell them how to live. Oh, God loves you. You know, God cares about you. He don't want to bring up your sins. And everybody's going, why would God want you to go? No, tell people the truth. Jesus said, except you likewise repent, you're all going to perish. Jesus said, you need to get right. You need to live right. I can't keep preaching to people who don't want to live right. I ain't going that church. The preacher talk about me. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about the Bible. Live right. Have an attitude of gratitude. Have a long, be long suffering with preacher. Jerry talked about that today. Be patient with people. People ain't going to get it that quick. Even in your family, they ain't going to get it. I thought they ought to got it. No, they ain't got it. I still got a father who lost, and I'm still praying for him. But I got to be patient. I got to be long-suffering. I got to live before him. He got to see Jesus Christ in me. Amen? Paul told Titus, ordain elders or bishops in every city. Wherever you go, plant a church. Tell somebody. I like to hear Jerry talk about when he goes to Jasper, when he goes, he's talking about the Lord. That's a blessing. You're telling people about the Lord. Wherever you go, whether it's Kentucky Fried Chicken or Bojangles, amen? They all need to know the Lord. They all need the Lord. It was so funny. I was checking the preacher into the hotel. I got the hotel for him. And they had a new desk clerk. I'd never met her. I signed a contract with him for the church. And I was asking her all these questions. She said, I'm from Colorado, and I've been here and all that. So I finally told her, I said, did you know I was a preacher? What? Yes. Do you know the Lord? And by that time, Chad came in, and she said, I didn't know y'all was a preacher. I said, we preachers. I said, but well, you need to get your own destiny. Amen? You need to talk about people about the Lord. And by the way, every time you go, you're going to see somebody that don't know you, and you're going to see somebody that need the Lord. People need the Lord. She was telling me about how I was in an accident. I flipped over a Jeep, and I was in a coma for 7 days, and they gave up on me. And she was saying, you know how people be talking, not even say, I'm blessed. I spared. God saved my life. I said, but do you know him? See, a lot of people talk about God, but they don't know God. So guess what? You need to be an evangelist. You need to tell the people about the Lord. The Bible says right here, holding fast the faith for word, that you may be able to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. There's a lot of people, I hate to say this, but there's a lot of bad teaching. There's a lot of error out there. So when you talk to people and they say something that's not right, you need to take the Bible like Paul did and reason with them with the scriptures. Say, you know, what you said is not really true. That's what my pastor said. Well, let's go with the Bible said. Okay, let's stay with the Bible. The Bible is true. That's why when we teach to you on Wednesday and on Sunday, I always say, where is it in the Bible? Show me in the Bible. Don't talk to me some, you know. And then I try to take you to the Bible and show you exactly what we're talking about. Amen? The Word of God is the best commentator of itself. If you don't know the Bible, read it, study it, learn it for yourself. And it may come a time, I don't know whether it's going to come in America, but it may come a time they may try to take the Bible away. You need to have it in your heart and in your mind. You need to commit it to memory. You know, we know those verses like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. We know those verses. We know Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good for them that love God and are called. So you need to learn the Bible, so that you can quote it. So when things begin to go awry, you can say, hold on a minute. All things work together for good. Now, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know it's working together for good. God going to work it out. God got a plan, and he going to work it out. Romans 12 says, all members have not the same office. We're not all pastors. We're not all evangelists. We're not all teachers, but we're all Christians. Amen? And the Bible says we need to hold fast with a good conscience the office that God calls. Stir up the gift that's in you, which is in thee by the putting on hand. So we need to do these things that God called us to do. God has given us specific assignment. God has given us leadership in the church. God has given us the gifts. God has partnered the gift. God has even took those that was in down in captive with death. God has taken them to heaven. And by the way, that's why I don't mind doing funerals. Because if a person is a Christian, I know where they're at. Let me preach just a little bit on that before I close. Paul said it like this. To be absent from the body. What? So that day that I buried my mother, she was an old saint of God, loved the Lord, used to pray for me. I looked at her in the funeral home, and then she was sitting in the casket. That scripture came to me. She's not there. Amen. Oh, y'all want me to preach this? She's not there. She's with the Lord. She's with the Lord. Amen. Now, people ask me, but I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, let me help you out. We're a trichotomous being. There's a body, a spirit, and a soul. When we die, that spirit and the soul go be with the Lord. Now, the body went to the grave, but that's coming today. It's called the rapture, a pot soup. That's coming today when God going to call up. And that's coming today when I would, by the way, if you ever want to see your loved one that's saved, you need to be saved yourself. Because, by the way, the Bible say, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that are alive, that's you and me, if we're still alive, will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. And we all will be called up to be with him in the clouds. And the Bible say, so shall we ever we be with the Lord. Comfort ye one another with these words. I love family reunion, but you wait till I get to heaven. Oh, what you talking about then? Oh, Lord, have mercy. All the saints of God and my family and everybody that I know that know the Lord going to be there. And it won't be like nobody, like she said, could criticize me. Well, you know, they ain't come that old loud talking preacher. They ain't come here, won't be nobody talking. It's going to be everybody there praising the Lord. And I don't know where they got that thing about it. It's going to be boring. It ain't going to be boring at all. Because I'm going to be running around talking to Jesus and trying to get a touch. By the way, I'm going to see John with his head back on. I mean, John, they cut it. And I'm going to run around and see Lot. I'm going to say, how was it when the chariot came down and you froze? Then I'm going to see Enoch. Enoch, did you walk with the Lord? And did you get so, you know, Enoch got so far from home, God said, ain't no sense you going back home. You might come on up. So I'm going to go around. And by the way, those people that know people don't want to talk about, I want to see them. I want to see the demon of Gadarius, the one that was in the graveyard that was cutting on him. Y'all remember that one? You know, everybody gave up on him. They used to put him in straight jacket. He would break him out. And he would cut on himself. But somebody told me Jesus came by that day. And Jesus told Legion, get out of him. The Bible said the man was right in his right mind. And he said, Lord, can I go with you? I'm going to be the first one to say, are you leading? Oh, man, I've been great. I've been wanting to see you for a long time. I want to see Peter, and I want to see Paul, and I want to see Timothy, and I want to see Mary. I want to see Mary Magdalene, the one that bust the alabaster box. I want to see her when I get there. Because I know it was, I know it. And by the way, that's criticism again. Here she go in somebody's house. Nobody liked her because she was a woman of repute. And then she bust that alabaster box, and it stunk. Oh, it smelled the whole house up. And then the folks began to say, she ought to know better. Come up in here. That money could have been gave to the poor. Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She has done what's good. And then he looked at that woman. He said, your sins have been forgiven. And you want to know how I know? She was the first one at the tomb. She was for real. See, when a person get for real, you ain't got to worry about that. The disciples all done ran and hid. All the men. By the way, that was some sorry men because none of them showed up. And the women was the only one at the grave. And the women had to go and tell her. Jesus said, go tell my disciples. Go get those men. Go tell my son. Tell them that I've risen from the dead. Amen. Mary Magdalene then was so excited. It's almost like the woman dropping a bucket at the well. I got to go and tell somebody. Ran all the way back and told Peter, James, and John, I've just seen Jesus. That had to be a blessing. The Bible said they looked at him and said, she lost her mind. But you know what we need to do with the gift that God has given us? We need to tell a lost and dying world about Jesus. Brother Jennings said, I don't know what's going on with the government. God knows. I don't know what's going on with the impeachment. You know, all the mess. And now he's retaliating. I don't know why all that's going on. But I know one thing. God knows. And you know what my job is? To pray for them. To lift them up. And to win everybody that I see to the Lord. Chad said it Sunday. He said, you know, sometimes I don't do what I need to do. Sometimes God tell me to witness to that person. And I say, well, they already say, you know how you said it? Well, Lord, you know, maybe not a good time. He said, you know what we need to do? We need to just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And by the way, you never know who's needing the Lord. Because somebody may have already planted and somebody may have already watered. Amen. God is waiting on you to open your mouth so he can bring the increase. And by the way, we say that we lead somebody to the Lord, but we don't lead nobody to the Lord. What happens is all that seed and all that prayer and all that water come to fruition, and God allowed my eyes to witness it. And so when a person come and say, I want to receive the Lord, it's almost like I'm ready to faint. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I told you about the young lady. Be praying for her at the anniversary that received the Lord. And we prayed a prayer, and she asked the Lord to save her. So be praying. I told her she needed to get into a church home. I don't try to, you know, dictate people coming to our church, but I told her she needed to get somewhere where the word of God is taught, and then she needed to make a public profession and follow the Lord and believe his baptism. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the word of God. I poured out my heart what you told me to do about the dispensing of your gifts, the pardon of your gifts. And then, Lord, you're the giver, and you're the one that gave the specific administrative gifts to the church. Thank you for our deacons, and thank you for our preachers and our leaders that we have. Now, Lord, thank you again for us being under the word of God. I do pray for those that are not here, Lord, don't know what's going on in their life, but you know. So I pray that you bring them to yourself before it's ever let them too late. Now, Lord, bless that we go into communion, and we'll be kept to give you all the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray.